She looks like an old bitch. She looks like she's made a silly putty and she rolled around in the newspaper.
I don't want to see your weird cow nipples. Get out of here. Oh, I see someone with tattoos.
He's going to try to suck my dick. What kind of art do you like?
Welcome one, welcome all to the podcast Cinemapocalypse Now, the show where we talk about movies. With your hosts, Scott Lizard Abrams.
Big Daddy Don Bodine.
Gabby Good to his mother, Tashada.
And we regretfully inform you tonight, on this most solemn of nights, Marshall Reardon is dead. He died of AIDS. It was infected when he was getting three words tattooed on himself.
I am gay.
I was kind of hoping you'd say, what, I'm gay? And then I would say, no, I am gay.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought I was supposed to be in the know on this.
Yeah, it's okay. But yes, they were, I am gay. So we regretfully inform he will, unless some supernatural instant occurs in which he is brought back to life.
I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I can't imagine
he's
it will
gone
next
for the,
week or
yeah, we'll see.
Possibly the week after.
Yeah, possibly 3 weeks from now.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, but tattoos. They can really kill you.
Yeah. How many tattoos do you have, Gabe?
Seven.
You have seven? Really? I thought you had maybe five.
Might have covered up. I don't take them to workplace with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was just saying that before the show started that I basically regret most of my tattoos.
Yeah, I got one I regret, and it's a funny story, so I kind of don't, just because it's a...
Why don't you tell us about that story?
It's just an at-home tattoo. My buddy's little brother wanted to be a tattoo artist for like a millisecond, so we bought him a tattoo gun on Amazon, and I gave up a piece of my leg for him.
That's very selfless.
Yeah. The best part is he has a heavy hand, so it like really hurt, but none of the ink stuck in because he didn't do it right.
So, I assume there is more to it than just like using it on someone's leg.
Oh, yeah. No, there is. We basically got the kid a tattoo gun and was like, go to town.
And what is the tattoo of?
It's a Bad Brains PMA tattoo.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it before. It is quite bad.
It's really bad. But it's like I said, it's a funny story. I don't care. Yeah,
also, I mean, you have the decency to like not have tattoos like out all over your body. Like,
no, all mine are covered. I wear tube socks all the time, so you never see this tattoo. I forget I have it, honestly, sometimes.
Yeah, like on your hands or like face or something.
Or neck.
Yeah, I hate that. It looks pretty trashy.
On that neck.
Give me that neck to tattoo it.
It's those people are always sharing the things on Facebook about being like open to tattoos in the workplace.
Yeah, I hate those memes too. They're really fucking gay.
Meanwhile, showing the most unprofessional American, but not that one, looking with huge gauges.
Yeah,
which will eventually look like cat buttholes when they don't want to
literally
be a
like everybody.
Yeah, I always imagine what they're gonna look like when they get old, the people who gauge up to a point where it's never gonna close up fully. Mm-hmm. Like that's, oh my god, it's gonna be horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you also see, but like those memes you were talking about, like it's always like, hey, see this guy, think he's a piece of shit. Yeah, you probably did, didn't you? You fucking judgmental piece of shit. Well, guess what? He's a fucking surgeon.
Yeah.
He saved mad babies' lives.
Oh, okay. Mad babies' lives.
Wow. Do we have to reevaluate
maybe
now?
Maybe you should not judge before you see someone with a bunch of tattoos who looks like a fucking scumbag.
Well, what about people who have tattoos are less judgmental than those people who go to church?
Ugh. Yeah, you'd have to be, because you have to look at degenerate fucking people with depraved things and permanently ensconced onto their skin. You like that fucking phrase?
Whoa.
That was some $5 words right there. But
I remember reading something that was like, it was probably some like fucking Tumblr post or something, I don't even know. But it was like, you used to see people with tattoos and you'd be like, all right, well, this guy is going to stab me to death. Now it's like...
Or he's a sailor.
This guy, yeah. Or now it's like, oh, I see someone with tattoos.
He's going to try to suck my dick.
Yeah.
I was going to say, he works in a kitchen. He makes a mean pork belly with like a vinaigrette reduction. Oh. Surgeons generally don't have tattoos on their neck.
No, except that guy.
Except that one guy in the picture.
Yeah. that stock photo of a tough.
Yes, exactly.
You like that?
Well, yeah, what about the ones where it's like, think tattoos look bad when you're old, and it's like some old tough guy with a white, big so white cool. beard.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, I want to be like that tough old grandpa.
Oh, yeah. Or like, yeah, think tattoos are going to look bad when you're old, and they show this, like, fucking grandmother with tattoos, and it's like, yeah, she looks like
shit. She does look bad.
Yeah, she looks like an old bitch.
Looks like you hung out the funny comics to dry.
She looks like she's made a silly putty, and she rolled around in the newspaper.
I feel like we got to do some British gangster movies, because I'm a big fan. Of the
couple,
genre,
AKA okay
Guy Ritchie movies.
I don't really like that first one, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Oh, you don't like that one?
No, I like that one.
Oh, yeah, I like that. I like Snatch.
Snatch is all right.
Gangster Number One.
I don't like British people that much.
I don't like British accents.
I don't really either.
I honestly can't listen to them for too long before I get angry.
It depends. If it's comedy, I can do it. Action, no, I don't.
I can almost. It has to be like something that's so good that like I can look past the British accent.
Yeah,
and it's pretty rare.
That's funny, but like Australian accents don't bother you?
No, but
I like Australian accents.
Scottish accents I can't stand. Irish is like the worst
Irish
accent
is bad. I don't like
I've
it
ever
either.
Heard.
Well, that's a little that's rubbing off from like us being around the surrounding greater Boston area.
Yeah, but they don't really have Irish accents. There's just a fucking.
They're around.
We had one teacher in high school who had an Irish accent. I couldn't fucking stand it.
I hate that.
Who had an Irish accent in school?
Mr. Carey. You remember he was a science teacher? We had him for art class, and we went to his room instead of just letting us like talk, because obviously we're not gonna fucking do art in his science classroom. Yeah. But he's just like, "What kind of art do you like?" And that's a horrible Irish accent, but yeah. That sounded more Scottish. But yeah, it was he just
was. Wasn't he that
us.
Like guy was like a midget too?
No, he wasn't
I
a midget.
Think of a different person.
Did he have a pot of gold?
Yeah, he did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like me.
I found him at the
Jews
end of the rainbow.
Jews and Irish also both have gold
shekels.
Yeah. Shekels are different though.
True.
They're worth less.
Well, there's more of them, though.
Well.
No, anyway, this past weekend, instead of editing the podcast, I was being a fucking slacker, and I watched like 5 movies, though.
So. Well, yeah, you said you were watching Children of Men, which I like.
Yeah, that was one of them. I wanted to talk a little bit about... Danny, have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that one.
I would say... I'll just give it a quick score, because we're not going to talk about it too much.
Okay.
But I'd call it like... maybe like a 6.25, 6.5, perhaps.
Oh. Wow.
I think it's on the higher echelon, especially for like newer movies, and especially with that subject matter.
It got a lot of accolades, but I didn't find that those were worth, you know. Mm-hmm. They were, it was
didn't,
entertaining.
Didn't live up to the hype for
not
you?
Not at all. It had it hyped to me quite a bit, too. So, yeah. So, I just threw it on like a weeknight, and it's a pretty good movie. It's a like the premise is that... like in the future, not too far in the future. And also this is one thing I did like is that they like made it like look like near future, and they didn't go too hard with like trying to be like, oh, check out this.
It wasn't Blade Runner. It was just like, oh, I can see this happening.
It's like they I mean, there already was like touchscreens and shit, so they just basically like kind of almost predicted
updated them slightly.
Yes, gotcha. Yes. And the plot is, or the premise is that in the future like all like nobody can reproduce.
Yeah, everybody's sterile.
And that like the most recent born person is like a celebrity. Because
kind
everyone's
of interesting.
Like yeah, it was a pretty interesting premise. It's based off of a book that I believe won the Nebula Award. But
we've treaded this ground before.
What do you mean? Oh, I feel like it was a fake. I didn't read the book, obviously, but...
No, I'm saying, what's its face?
The movie I really hated.
Oh, Annihilation. Yeah.
Annihilation also
won
the Nebula.
That's true. But yeah, and I feel like it was a pretty faithful adaptation for what it's worth. But the couple changes, they try to make it political a little bit, which I didn't like. Because they try to be like... Like, one of the main things is that they don't allow immigrants in, because basically all the countries except England have crumbled. And, like, so there's refugees from everywhere just trying to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they try to, like, do a little bit of a, like, oh, man, it's lame that we're not letting all the immigrants in kind of thing, which is, like, whatever. But I didn't feel that it was necessary.
Scott's pro-wall.
Yeah, so I'm a big wall guy.
So who stars in the film?
Clive Owen. And he's okay. There's like, here's the thing. It was well written enough that I cared about the character without him having to wow me.
Mm-hmm.
And the plot was like pretty good. Like, and also apparently they gave him more character in the movie than they did the book. Like, they gave you a little bit more of a backstory to make
developed him a bit more. Yeah. That's good.
And, like, they don't overdo it. Like he meets, like, his ex-wife who, like, he had a baby that he lost with. And then, like, so you kind of feel bad for him. And then she's, like, hang on. Should I spoil? Are you going to watch this?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, they basically, like, kill her off, like, right in the beginning of the movie. And so you get a moment where he's, like, clearly sad because he, like, made some changes in his life to help her out because she's, like, a part of the resistance.
Yeah. It's not, they don't have, like, the stock characters like they usually have in movies like this.
Well, they didn't let it get to that because she, like, dies immediately.
No.
So basically what the plot is, like, is so this, his ex-wife comes back into his life and says, hey, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to help someone get transfer papers across the island. And she said, it's not me, it's another girl. And I was immediately like, okay, I know what the plot is. It's that there's somebody who can reproduce. Like, and it's so obvious, and I was like, but, like, yeah, whatever. It had to be something.
And they give that away. It's not like they hold it till the end.
Yeah, well, did they have to name the person who is the one person able to reproduce Key?
Oh.
Isn't that
subtle?
Awful. That's so bad.
I didn't even remember that.
Well, you just haven't seen it in a long time. I just watched it.
No, I watched it like probably maybe a year ago.
Okay. Well, but I was watching it with a critical eye.
I didn't remember it being like that on the nose.
Her name is Key.
I felt it really unnecessary too when she's like, she like shows that she's pregnant and she can't just like show her belly. She like gets naked.
Completely naked. You're like, yeah.
I don't want to see your weird cow nipples. Get out of here.
And so anyway, they just keep extremely on the nose being like, oh yeah, it's a Jesus analogy. Oh, it's a Mary analogy. Oh, it's a Joseph analogy. Like over and over. Like when she reveals to him that she is pregnant, they're in a manger.
No.
And, later on, he's like, how did you do that? And she's like, oh, I don't know. I'm a virgin. Later on in the movie where they really start kicking into overdrive, there's like a bunch of, they're in this refugee camp where all these different countries of people are living peacefully side by side. That would never happen.
Yeah, no shit.
That would never happen. Like there's like literally like Mexicans next to Muslims, next to Asians.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not that far.
They're going to put their noodles in their tacos. It's going to be all
and they're all
going to
sing fucking Kumbaya afterwards.
Right?
Yeah.
Duh.
She's walking. She's holding the baby. And, like, literally all the people are, like, all, like, downtrodden, like wrapped up in, like, biblical style, like robes and stuff. And they're doing the fucking touch the hem of his garment thing.
Oh.
And I'm just like, Jesus Christ. Like, yeah, well, that's the point. We already knew it was Jesus. Even worse, there's a soldier who's about to shoot them and then sees the baby and then gets down on one knee and does the cross.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, all right, I get it. Other than that, though, I will say the plot was good, well-paced. And there's a couple decent, no bad performances, I'll say. Maybe the girl's kind of shitty because she's like a new actress.
What, Key?
Yes, Key.
Yeah.
I can't even say that with a straight face.
I don't know if she's I think she's foreign too. So
yeah, she had an accent.
Yeah, foreign people are bad at acting.
Yes, naturally. The action was good. And they did a couple pretty good one-shot shots.
Yeah, there's a really good one towards the end.
Yeah,
every time I watch it, I'm like, cool.
And it's handheld camera, but it's not shitty. Like, it actually seems documentary-ish almost.
I feel like you forgot to mention the best thing in the whole movie.
Which is?
You mentioned the nipples.
when the government is, like, coming to get them, like, they're trying to find Key, and they had already left, and, like, Michael Caine gave him his car to, like, escape. Or he says, like, pull my finger, and they, like, shoot him. And he's, like, bleeding. He's, like, bleeding, and he does it again. And they finally kill him. But I think it's funny in the movie.
I didn't find it very funny. It was one-time recurring joke.
Pull my finger.
His first appearance in the movie.
Come on. I love it. That's how I want to die.
Well, to be brutally shot in the stomach
while I'm
and
telling
out.
Fart jokes.
There you go. That's dedication to comedy, the craft. But, yeah, I guess, like I said, 6.5 or something.
What would you give it, Gabe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd give it around there.
Oh, I thought you thought more highly of it.
6.75, maybe.
Okay, not quite a 7, but...
No, it's not a throw it on
once a year kind of thing.
I enjoy the movie. I'd watch it again, and I've seen it like I think I've seen it twice.
I don't know that I think maybe in like 5 years I might be like, oh yeah, Children of Men, that wasn't bad, and put it on again.
And
but
then
like
you'll remember,
yeah, and then I'll remember. No, it wasn't that fucking bad.
Like we've seen some post-apocalyptic movies or like dystopian future movies on this podcast clearly. And like, it's much better and better made than like something like Bad Batch.
Yeah,
yeah, I was gonna say.
It was better than any other movies of that genre we did.
It's not like just like the movie, but it kind of reminds Evolution? Me of no.
Yeah, this sounds like a Marshall beginning of a sentence. By the way,
no, it kind of reminds me of 28 Days Later.
Yeah, and that it's a British post-apocalyptic film.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
I like 28 Days Later.
I like that one too.
The second one sucks.
I saw the guy's penis and I turned it off.
Yeah, I understand. It's pretty horrific.
That's the first time I tried to watch
I didn't turn it off after that. I turned it off after I got bored by it. You turned it off because you saw the guy's...
It was straight into it. I don't want to see dick right away.
The protagonist's penis in the second shot of the movie or whatever, second scene.
I was on another podcast. I'm not going to say what. And I brought up that there was too many penises in the movie. Like the ratio was completely off.
And they all thought there weren't enough.
Yeah.
No, this kid got...
It was cheap.
This kid got in an argument with me, and I was like... he was saying that, like, oh, like, women, they show their breasts in movies all the time and stuff like
that.
Did
he say breasts?
Pretty much.
What a faggot.
So he was trying to sound woke.
He was trying to say that it's, like, it's unfair that they show, like, so many naked women and don't show naked men. And I was like, boobs aren't equal to dick.
Yeah,
that's fair. Like, a woman...
I was like, if we saw the same amount as balls as boobs, I was like, I guess you can... Because it's like men's chest, that's not the same as a woman's breast.
Well, no, not just that, but it's not as like, even a woman would be like, ugh, at a gross looking dick.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that.
Right.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
It's not equal at
I know
all.
Straight women that they'll see breasts and be like, oh, they're pretty.
Whatever, it's in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but, not like, it's not even like eye popping because it's in so much movies.
Well, women's bodies just generally look better for the most part. Yeah.
Well, then you got that whole age thing.
What?
Where, like, it just falls off at some certain point.
Well, of course.
Men age like fine wine.
All except, women are beautiful.
Except
stuff.
For their
yes,
balls
right,
sagging to the
right.
floor.
I'm
but
sorry.
Yes.
You should be.
But he was like, he was trying to basically argue that he wanted to see, like, more dick versus, like, less
Yeah,
boobs.
Think about what you're arguing.
He's welcome to it.
Yeah, he could just put on, like gay male on male all anal action or something.
And I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
We have a guy that, pretty much everybody at my work, that anytime they call out, they, like, come up with the worst excuse ever. But there's one unprofessional American that he comes up with some of the worst. And he actually, like, I don't know if it was a lie this time, but he actually came up with one. And I was like, oh, I actually believe that. Because he was like, I can't come into work. And my boss was like, why? And he's like, I got to get a prostate exam. And I'm like, that's pretty good. I wouldn't second guess that at all.
Not gonna question that.
Yeah, that kind of goes to my whole, my old school, the best way to get out of, or get like someone to not like ask questions about it is to be like, totally graphic details of what's happening to you.
I have explosive diarrhea.
Yeah, like, oh my god, dude, I ate this, and it's like, I felt the corn kernels, like, and it's just so painful. And it's hot, you know, that kind of hot diarrhea, where it's like, and then they're just like, okay, I get it. You're actually shitting. And even if you might not be.
Well, one of my ex-girlfriends, her roommates were all, like, really... like
SJWs.
Yeah, social justice warrior, feminists, all that stuff. But what I thought was hilarious is that one of them had a cat, and his name was Mooley. And I was like, you know, that's
what that means, right?
And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let them have that one. Yeah. I want their neighbor to come over one day and be like, oh, what's your cat's name?
Mooley. And he's black, by the way. No, he's not just black. He's fucking Hannibal Buress.
And he's going to be like, whack.
Yeah, I remember one time you invited me over there to like play board game night, and I was just like, please don't make me go there. Like, I was like, how do I not go? Like,
did you end up going?
No. No, I mean, the relationship didn't last that long for me to end up going.
Now, when you asked him, he described the corn coming out of his ass at the time, and, yes. And you instantly, sorry. All right, so what did we watch this week, fellas?
We watched the runner-up to the Best Picture of 2017,
Would this be the runner-up?
Yeah, there's no runner-up that we know
of. That's what everyone was saying, though, in the media.
Okay.
Yes.
Best female actress.
Or she did win that as well. No, best female. Leading.
Lead. Okay.
She was a lead, yeah.
Okay.
I'll give it to her.
I was going to say good. Supporting, but...
She Meryl Streeped it.
Oh, God.
No, I mean, she was well... She acted well. She acted well at being a cunt.
It's like... Meryl Streep's good in most of her movies, but she's also boring and in terrible movies. Every one of her films just seems like it's another like run at the Oscars. Is that unfair?
I haven't seen her in that many things.
It's a fair criticism, I guess, but that's not what I would take home from her entire career.
She was in also a movie that was in this Oscars that was another boring run at the Oscars.
What was she in?
I don't even know. Tom Hanks was in it too.
Mamma Mia 2.
The Epic Adventure. But yeah, okay, so anyway, let's just, I guess, quickly give a rundown of the film. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I initially didn't want to see this movie based solely on the title. It sounds boring.
It's a bit of a long one, too. Whenever I'd refer it to try to bring it up for a podcast, I would just call it Three Billboards.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit much. Yeah. 2017, like we mentioned, because this was at the Me Too Oscars. In case you were wondering what year.
There are
you
some,
all want to remember it in infamy. So,
there's some overtones that I could see why it would do well at the Oscars, being that it is about a rape or the consequences afterwards of a rape. I was happy to see that they didn't belabor it on the fucking screen and make me watch that.
Yeah.
A girl, was she supposed to be underage or of age?
I think she's supposed to be like 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
A young girl, we'll say.
A young child.
Young child, female. Now, she gets raped and set on fire, apparently, and dies. And the film takes place 7 months afterwards, where her angry mother takes out three billboards on her street.
Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Yes. That are critical of the police force in town for not doing enough to solve the case. It is starring, don't you know, what the fuck is she? Well, I always forget her real name.
McDormand.
Yeah. Frances McDormand, yes. And like we said before, like she does pretty well at it, being an annoying bitch. And she faces off against the police force in town, which...
Headed up by Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson.
And Sam Rockwell.
Is that who that was?
The deputy, yeah.
Yeah.
Dixon. Okay.
Yeah.
He's like a typical bumbling cop, like dumb southern. Is it Missouri? I guess it is somewhat so. Yeah, we had this conversation during the movie.
Well, because Scott was like, it's right next to Kansas. And I was like, it's right next to like Tennessee, too. So Kentucky and Tennessee are right there, but it's also next to Kansas.
Also next to Kansas, which is firmly in the center.
Well, we're not
of the
in
country.
Kansas anymore.
He's kind of like that character who has, like, deep down, he has a heart of gold, but, you know, he just has to, you know, fight for, like, the side that he's on,
yes.
Which is, you know, the police force.
And they keep alluding to him having, like, tortured a black guy, although it's kind of unsubstantiated. So, yeah, also, Woody Harrelson is the well-meaning police chief.
This movie is... I think it's done well. It's a good movie overall, but there's a lot of cliche characters.
I was
going
to say, he is that. Like, that, it's like, listen, I'm trying to do everything I can. My hands are tied, man.
Exactly.
he's so super likable in this.
He's pretty likable, yeah.
Yeah.
I like Woody Harrelson.
I do, too.
I wasn't. I thought his performance was okay. There were a few times where...
No, he didn't rock my world or anything.
The only person who I thought was consistently good throughout the film was Frances McDormand. I thought she was very good.
Yeah, she definitely deserved the Oscar.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, she's fucking nasty in it. And, like, she's just like... Like, he's... Like, see, Woody Harrelson shows up...
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say she's consistently a cunt in this movie, but she does it well.
Yeah, like, Woody Harrelson comes to her after the billboards go up, and he's like...
I have cancer.
Yeah, well, I was going to go to that next.
That's bad writing.
Yeah, that wasn't great. But,
Yep, I definitely have cancer.
I definitely have breast cancer.
I got the results of the test back. I definitely have breast cancer.
But yeah, no, he's like... oh, well, the DNA didn't match to someone who'd ever done a crime. And she's like, well, why don't we have every man on Earth's fucking DNA?
That's
like,
ridiculous.
You're a fucking Nazi if you want that. You fucking psycho. And, like, what else was it, too? Like, oh, yeah, every male baby has to give up a fucking DNA at birth. Like,
I mean, she's being unreasonable with Chloe because she's very upset about her daughter's death. Obviously, yeah. She's being super
No, it's not presenting that. I don't think it's really presenting that as something that the she film was serious. Is saying is, like, a good idea.
No. I'm just saying it's what her dumb character
Right. She's so emotional over
it. Yeah.
Woody Harrelson even is like, oh, the Constitution, I'm pretty sure, protects against that.
Yeah, no. I'm pretty sure the civil rights laws. Yeah. Protect you against that. Max mom's in it.
Yep, she certainly is.
From Always Sunny.
Okay,
that's the deputy's mom. That's like that old smoking bitch that's just like on the porch smoking cigarettes.
She's also Napoleon Dynamite's grandmother.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
she's a lot of people's mothers.
I could see her being typecast in that type of a role.
I mean, yeah.
Is that an impression? Because that was pretty good.
Unintentional, but yes, it was. Yeah, that's the Man of 25 voices this week, boys. I actually looked her up on Wikipedia on IMDb, and like she's been acting since like the 60s or 70s or something.
You said she was like 15 or something when she started.
Yeah, she was like a 16-year-old actress, and like,
I always find that crazy.
Yeah, how could you stay in it all that time? I mean, I guess you wouldn't want to get a day job, would you?
You wouldn't, but like at a certain point, like. I don't know. Especially
these roles are coming in, though.
Especially as a woman, once your looks go, it's like it becomes that much more.
Oh, they went fast.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
But... Yeah, no, she was already looking like that by the late 80s.
Yeah, I know. I imagine so.
Yeah. She was pretty funny in it, actually.
Yeah, I liked her.
Yeah, she always does comedic pretty well, which is, I got to say about this, I was saying when my wife got back home from, I watched this with Just Gabe, and she was out of town, and she came back and asked me about it, and I said, I guess it was, I almost want to say it was like a dramedy. Because there's lot of intentional comedy in it.
Well, when I heard people talking about it, they said it's kind of like Fargo, to where it's like there's drama.
It's not as funny as Fargo, though.
It's not as funny as Fargo, but it's like they have, there's a comedy aspect to it.
It feels like a Coen Brothers derivative.
It certainly does. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Actually, yeah, it just kind of seems like almost a little bit like a Fargo ripoff. Not just to say that because she's in it. Because like they have that whole like it's an everyone knows each other thing.
It's a small town
and they like kind of play off their like their backwardsness a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like fucking like coast elite snobbery in my opinion, but
I mean the cliches things that he brought up, there's a lot of like things that like it's just too neat in the movie. The first time that they see the billboards, they first of all discuss that nobody goes down that road since the highway was...
Everybody's going down that
since the highway was built, and yeah, everybody goes down the road like a bunch in the movie because clearly you got to see the billboards. But the way they show the billboards initially is she goes to the advertisers and pays money for the billboards, okay, and then they show I think it might even be Sam Rockwell, a deputy, going on his like nightly patrol, and then like drives down that street, and there's people painting the billboards at night.
Yeah, why wouldn't they just wait till the morning to do it? That literally doesn't make sense.
It just seemed like an easy way to be like, let's rope this in here because that way the police will see it first. Do you know what I'm saying? Right.
Well, they want to have that set piece where you confront him at the fucking night, in the middle of the night, and the black guy tells him to fuck off.
Yeah,
put the cop in his place.
Right.
I know.
Blue Lives Matter. Scott brought up the first time that they like the cops have an encounter with the advertiser guy. I forget who he's played by.
I don't either.
Some redhead fuck.
They call him Red in the movie.
Yeah,
that was supposed to be his first name.
And he like brings up, he's like, oh, you guys are always hassling black folks. And Scott was like, why don't they just say it? You know they want to say it.
And then later they do. So me and Gabe speculated that he was like, nope, not saying it.
I know. That's what I said. I said, you're right. It really seems like they wrote that.
He fucking said it and was to say it.
I think he was uncomfortable to say it. That's what I gathered. It said multiple times throughout the movie.
Yeah. Why would they be like, oh, like, wait, maybe we'll wait a little bit. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Skip the intention.
Yeah.
But I think most of those things that, like, they don't poke holes in the plot or anything, but the things that are, like, easily convenient with everything happens, for the most part, around the billboards. Like, Woody Harrelson, for instance, when he's like looking back over the case file, he's like, hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Let me take this case file.
And then he brings out it out to the middle billboard of, and middle then, of the then goes through it.
Let me look at the case file in the shadow of the billboards. Like, why didn't you just read that when you were at the police station when you got it out of the file cabinet?
That doesn't make any sense either.
It's just like, oh, hold on. This is a good set piece right here. Like, let me just have this in the background.
So a bunch of people in town. Oh, that fucking dentist scene sucked. It just made no sense. I mean, it was pointless other than to get her in some kind of trouble.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, is this dentist really going to go out that much out on a limb? I'm going to fuck up your teeth because I'm friends with somebody.
That's insane.
That, yeah.
Like, hey, no, it's such a small town that we get around.
No, you've shit. Never been in a small town. You don't know.
I know. Yes, they actually act like zombies.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Police lives matter. I'm going to actually do medical malpractice on you. That's insanity. Well, yeah. So anyway, there's a bunch of people who are like pissed off at her for doing the billboards, which is just asinine. Because well, it's not even like, well,
because Woody Harrelson's that likable guy. Everybody likes him. And she has right on the billboards, like calling him out, basically.
Oh, wait. I just remembered something I really didn't like about his character.
Who? What? What?
The fact that he kept saying, God damn.
Do you remember that? It didn't even stick out to me.
Yeah, really.
It was
just constant.
He was like saying, he literally was saying to his kids, and I just feel like it was.
Yes, yeah. That, oh, I noticed that too.
When the he said Easter it to dinner?
Kid, that too. That
the
too.
Easter dinner?
It worked a little bit then, but then that he did it well, again
it's a little
to them.
It's a little funny because he's like, I'm having my goddamn Easter dinner and you're bothering me.
I didn't like that.
If that had been it, it would have been fine that one time. But you know, then like, he's playing the game with goddamn his kids. Four times, and it's like, all right. Why wouldn't you just, if you're going to make it so like, oh, wow, this guy's crazy. He swears in front of his kids. Why wouldn't you say fuck? You're going to be too much of a pussy to go there?
I don't think you're reading into it too much. Maybe goddamn's his catchphrase. You don't know.
Yeah, that's a bad catchphrase.
I doubted him as a father once he did that.
Yeah. Also, what was with the wife having an accent?
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, they don't even tap on that. That's kind of like whenever Arnold Schwarzenegger's in a movie, and then he's like, "Oh, like I'm a regular American guy.
I'm John Matrix."
Like they never ever mention
address it, right?
Yeah. So there's that insane scene where the dentist like tries to commit medical malpractice on her to get revenge,
and then she drills his thumb.
But it's really just a device in order to get her in trouble with the cops and have him like put pressure on her.
But also, it's like throughout the movie, you see all these things of her doing like crazy ass shit because
she
like,
gets away with all of them.
Yeah.
Which is she never gets punished at all.
She's I'm sorry, I didn't realize that there's no such thing as fucking forensic arson evidence.
She's completely, like, unhinged.
If a midget backs your story, then the police are going to believe you.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Every
yeah.
time. Hey,
I'm sorry.
That's Peter Dinklage. That's not any midget. That's a 10.
That's what I said while I watched. Midget. I said, that's a midget. He's a 10 in the midget world.
Yeah. She also, one of the things she does, which I actually, like, laughed at hysterically, is when some kid, like, throws his fruit cup at her car or some shit.
That was
she gets out of the car and kicks him in the testicles.
Yeah.
And then, like, some girl is like, you can't do that. And then she kicks her in the cunt.
Yep.
That was kind of funny.
That was pretty good.
Okay, genital kicking, I'm 4 in movies, so let's just go there.
So, yeah, he basically has one final perfect day with his family.
Yes.
Where they, like, go fishing.
And fucks his wife, which is just bizarre. Wouldn't you just leave them with somebody and fuck?
Then his wife tells him he has a nice cock. And then he shoots himself.
Yeah.
That's how I want to die.
Yeah. Well.
And that's also their chemistry is bad.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't find that to be good. His best acting, which is, by the way, not very, like, it's much easier on the old acting, was when all the scenes where he's, like, writing suicide notes.
Like, yeah, he's the voiceover.
Yeah, I agree.
But it comes across, like, as he's reading, but it seems, like, kind of, like, emotional, too.
Yeah.
They definitely seem genuine.
That was better. It was similar to I hate monologues typically, or voiceover, I should say. But it kind of came across as like, you know, likable, dumb Southern guy like in Forrest Gump.
I didn't get that vibe, but.
Me and Scott were saying too, like, you've got cancer. That's the fucking way to go.
It is the way to go.
That's a way better way to die than
and his justification is that he doesn't want to have to face his family who have to, like, pretend to be hopeful for him when he knows there's no way he's going to live.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, he didn't barrel roll a plane or anything, but it's pretty
good.
Yeah,
he's not a Chad. He's no Chad. But yeah.
So basically, after he kills himself,
the whole town
like, assumes
pissed.
That it's you know, it has to do with the billboards.
Yes.
So basically it's an all out war between this woman and like, not just the police force and the, like town the town in general. Itself,
yeah. And also right before he killed himself, he paid for another month of the billboard to like fuck with her, which is kind of clever.
Although it seemed a little out of character. I feel like it suited the plot more than the character.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there might have been some scenes that were cut out. I don't know. Where he like, you know, really looking for the killer.
He does explain in the letter that like it did, he thought it was a good idea because it did bring the case back to the limelight.
Yeah.
By doing the billboard.
Well, no, that's like you said, it suits the plot. He's like, oh, it's pretty
fucking clever and blah 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 blah. But that's like, you're right. That's the only time
wavering on that. He kind of still like in the scenes where he was still alive, didn't seem like he was like, you know, that concern with.
Well, you have the whole first part of the letter, which is like, I actually agree with what you did in putting up those billboards, putting my name on them. I have no problem with it. I understand why you did it. And then the second half, it's like, oh, I hope they don't kill you.
Yeah.
It's like he's understanding that there's a possibility that this something is gonna harm is going to come to this woman because, you know, of the backlash of him killing himself.
Well, you got a bunch of hicks from Missouri.
Oh, there you go. That's what it takes.
So
all it takes.
But so yeah, that happens, and then Dixon gets completely unhinged and like goes into the
brutalizes.
This scene was ridiculous.
He brutalizes Red.
Yeah,
like, smacks the lady when she's like, "What are you doing?"
punches. That was funny. Actually, I just love seeing women get hit. Just kidding. No. But yeah, he goes in there and like beats the fucking shit out of the ginger guy and throws him out the window.
Fucking window, yeah.
Yeah, which was like insane. But of course he's fine.
But of course, looking on is the new police chief.
Oh, right.
The new what color was he?
He was black. I know. And everyone in the entire police precinct force doesn't believe it.
Yeah.
Let me see your paperwork.
How dare he question the black policeman.
Me and Scott got into this little discussion a little bit too, but the whole badge in your gun thing, it's a real big movie cliche, but wondering if this actually happens. I'm gonna have to talk to I have a friend that's a cop in the Stoughton PD, and I'm gonna talk to him and see if that's actually a thing. He's a younger cop, so he might not know, but we're getting to the fucking bottom of this.
Yeah, so they like actually ask for your badge and gun. Obviously the badge makes sense, but like, wouldn't at least
some cops buy their own
guns. I was
going
to say, they definitely do have their own guns as well. So would it be like, would you be able to be like, well, actually, I didn't bring my service pistol today. Like, also, like, I loved how that, like, the, like, as Dixon walks back into the police precinct and he's like, disrespects the new policeman. And then he goes, to show his badge. And it's just like, all right, we could have found out 1 second later.
Well, we found out in the beginning when you first see him because you see the badge.
That's what I'm saying.
He's standing there, and then after Dixon walks past him, he like moves
his coat out of the way.
That was pretty Miss Hill.
Yeah. He wasn't offensive as an actor, but like he was just
I actually kind of liked that character.
Yeah.
He's not bad.
I thought, yeah.
Yeah, and also you were just like, kind of like if you're at all attached to the plot at this point, you're like kind of pissed off at the police a little bit for like fucking things up so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, finally, someone's gonna bring law and order to this town.
I feel like that segues pretty good to obviously everybody's pissed off at her, and then it leads to the burning of the billboards.
Yeah. Right.
That once again, very conveniently.
Because the first thing the new black police chief does is he walks into the precinct and he basically immediately fires Dixon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not just that, but also he goes like, reopen that fucking file.
Yeah, that too.
Remember, little Hank, it's the beard that's on the inside that counts, not the beard that's on the outside. Sorry.
Well, I was going to say when the billboards are getting burnt down, she very conveniently has a full-size fire extinguisher in her in her car.
Yeah, I thought about that. Some people do. Some people.
Full-size one? I'm not talking about a little like one that you put in the car just in case. Like,
it was a little convenient.
I was able to suspend my disbelief.
I was too, yeah. Although, I mean, it was pointless to do it at all because, I mean, like, it wasn't like she was going to stop them all.
Yeah.
What else was stupid? That's what I always say when we're reviewing movies. So, basically, Dixon's fired and he's, like, depressed about it and he's just stuck on the couch with his mom. Also, there's that, like, weird scene where like the guy somehow comes in and knows, you know what I'm talking about? The guy who,
the guy who's like later who's later the red herring.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, later in the film.
Like, what the fuck was that if he is a red herring?
Yeah, I thought that was going to go somewhere. That, yeah, that but this was doesn't totally make sense. Out of place.
Yeah, and it was just clearly just a plot
Explain
device.
What happens. So she's working in the gift shop, and some guy we've never seen before in the film comes in and starts taunting
really
her.
Really menacingly.
And you think it's going to be someone who was
he
says that he's a friend of Woody Harrelson's character.
And he also says he's a friend of the daughter.
No, then he goes on to say that, he alludes to the fact that he possibly was the one who killed and raped her.
Yeah.
Why the person who did it would go in and to the person's
That's
mother.
That's insane,
and,
yeah.
In face-to-face and be like, right. Maybe I did it.
Yeah, what did you think of that?
Well, how'd you feel about that? Yeah, that was pretty lame.
Dumb. And, so then that happens, and at this point, I think Dixon gets his letter from Woody Harrelson. And he basically says, like, what you said before, like, yeah, I know you're, like, a fucking dumb fuck, but you have a heart of gold. And, like, and it's just like, oh, God, really? Do you have to...
I think you could be a good cop.
That old
gag. Just stop being so hateful and...
Yeah.
Whatever.
Prideful or whatever.
Meanwhile, he's got his headphones in and can't hear.
Yeah, that was so dumb. That was such a contrived plot device.
Yeah.
Can't hear that she's throwing
Molotov
cocktails at the police department.
From the fucking broken open window from the guy who fell through the window.
Three or four hit the building about like 5 feet behind where he's sitting.
Oh, not just that, but also she's, by the way, amazing at throwing Molotovs.
I know. I was impressed.
The accuracy.
Like, I'm just going to say this. No woman could do that. On Earth.
I wouldn't go that far, but unless you're like an Olympic athlete.
I couldn't do that. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Those were like pretty good throws across a whole, like a whole entire street.
Yeah, she accurately gets each window and shit. Exactly. Like,
I don't know how good Molotovs throw.
I throw my boxers into I miss every morning when I'm throwing them into the fucking, into the hamper.
That's a good, interesting tidbit we need on this.
Hey, what do you want? I'm trying to relate the movie to my own real experiences.
The police station is burning.
Yeah, and Dixon heroically runs.
Stumbles
and
with
complete, out. Complete character. He face turn after reading one letter from a dead guy. Completely changes his entire
persona.
He's
a new man.
And heroically runs out of the police station, saving the case file. Which, by the way, why would it not be backed up on the computer? It's not the 90s.
I wouldn't be.
That's basic shit, though.
Also, we saw that
scanners in the South Cape.
They had flip phones, so we're not sure that time period. This
All right, I guess
set
that's
in.
Fair.
This could be early 2000s.
Okay,
but anyway, yes. He heroically complete character change runs out of the police station with the case file. And decides he's going to crack the case. Sorry, I've been watching Scooby-Doo. He doesn't even do anything, by the way, to try to crack the case, except now that he like literally just pays attention while he's getting drunk at a bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on full-on detective mode. First thing you do as a detective is go to a bar.
Exactly.
Yes, in the town that you live in where you know everybody. So he goes to the bar and overhears the guy from before describing a rape he did.
He raped some girl and lit her on fire.
Which matches the story of the rape the movie centers around.
Also like to point out that Woody Harrelson mentions in his letter that, you know, we didn't have the evidence, but sometimes all it takes is somebody talking about
so
it at a bar.
Yes.
That was another moment where
years
it was so
later.
Neatly. Yeah.
Yeah. That was dumb.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm talking myself out of, like, enjoying this at all again.
There were a lot of
gay shit.
Bad moments.
Yeah. So he basically gets into goes outside, looks at his plate numbers, writes it down, and then...
Idaho plates. Oh, yeah. He's an out-of-towner.
And comes back in and gets into a bar fight with him, in which he doesn't really get into a bar fight, but he just kind of scratches
him. He deliberately scratches his face.
Which is, by the way, how they do get DNA of rapists. They check underneath the woman's nails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew that.
It's not, you know, Gabe was sitting still right now, I don't know if I can get his skin under my nails, honestly.
Mm.
Like, at least to the level that they show it in the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting plot device.
That was kind of clever.
I thought so.
Especially because I had to know that that's how they got the DNA for rapists.
I actually initially thought when that happened that they're like, oh, they're going to take this guy in and then he's going to be have committed a crime and they can check his DNA.
Yeah.
But they went one step further and he's like, I'm just going to take the DNA.
Yeah. So yeah, he does that and then he goes home to do a rape kit he just conveniently has.
Maybe he knew that he would need
it. He knew this day would come that he'd need to falsify or maybe not rape evidence.
No, that's just good detective work.
You know, he's actually a 3-time rape survivor. 3 rapes, no convictions.
Oh.
And then he takes the evidence in and goes, I found the raper. And they check it, and it turns out it's not him. Which, I mean, like, what were the fucking chances?
Yeah, that would have been so...
You know how many rapes happen?
In fact, if they had done that, the movie would fucking suck.
Yeah, I was...
It would have been too perfect.
Oh, that's what you were saying before, right?
Yeah, that
you were
like, worried that was going to be... this is way too convenient.
I guess, yeah, I probably would have... I wasn't even thinking that because I didn't think that it could be that.
I didn't think so either, but everything else had been like so neat and like convenient and everything. Yeah. Like,
we didn't mention too, after he's burned in the fire, he ends up being in the same hospital room as Red, who he beat to a bloody pulp.
Oh, right. Yeah. This is part of his character arc.
Very conveniently.
Yeah, I know. Well, I gotta imagine there's probably only so many hospital beds in the town.
Don't defend it. That's you're right. Too
that was pretty bad. Yeah. And like, yeah, like Red's all like about ready to be pissed at him, and then like he's like,
here's some orange juice.
Oh, no, he said something nice to him, I think.
He said while he's crying, he said he was sorry for like beating him up.
Yeah, because that's how things work.
Yeah.
All is repaired.
But then you give orange juice and it's water under the bridge.
Well, not just that, but how could he have forgiven him over such like a... It's like, obviously he's in a bunch of pain. Obviously he's going to apologize and cry.
Yeah. But orange is delicious. Have you ever had it?
No, I meant the other way. But yes, I agree. Yes, I can see how Dixon would be assuaged by the orange juice.
Orange
obviously
juice heals all wounds.
Fresh squeezed orange juice.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Well, I bet it was from concentrate.
Hey. No way.
Don't mind if I do.
Yeah.
So then basically the movie ends by Dixon saying, well, this guy may not have raped your daughter, but he raped somebody.
We should mention.
Let's go to Idaho and kill him.
Yeah.
Basically. They're like, let's be vigilantes.
Yeah. So then they basically just go decide to fucking kill a random guy. I mean, yeah, he probably was a rapist. Or maybe he was just talking out of his ass.
Could be.
But that's the thing. So they leave it ambiguous, and it's just like, not a very satisfying ending, to be honest.
Mm.
But at the same time, if they would have like neatly just ended it...
Oh, it would have been way worse if they went and showed the kill.
If they revealed the killer and went to jail.
Well, that would have been worse, too. But it also would have been worse if they just went there and shot the guy and the movie ended.
Yeah, I like it ambiguous.
I think it lends to it more. And it's also like more realistic of like...
They probably
There's so many cold cases that it's just like you'll never find out. So I think it, as much of these like little perfect things they have in the movie, at least they leave that to be
we'll decide
in the realm
on the
of
way
realism.
Yeah. So yeah, that's 3 billboards outside of Missouri.
She also says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I lit the police station on fire."
That was bad too. There were some moments where the dialogue was so blunt. I have cancer. I lit the police station on fire. It's like someone, like, there's no subtlety in revealing something that's, like, kind of, you know, offensive or, like, is, you know, you don't want to be so blunt when you say things like that. But there are a lot of times where that's how the dialogue was written.
Well, it was probably written by an autistic.
Probably.
But also, I should mention, we didn't even talk about the midget arc.
Oh, God.
Another thing where it's like...
The love interest?
There's no interest going on.
Well, he's interested for a little bit.
Yeah, but the whole thing is basically like a way more ham-fisted and just shitty version of the fucking speech from the beginning of Happiness.
I wouldn't even put it in the same.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, that's the message ballpark they were going for, though.
Well,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, you think you're so fucking great? Well, you know, I know I'm a midget, but you're actually a piece of shit.
I'm champagne.
Yeah, and you're shit. No, really, though, like, that is, like, the same message of it. It's like,
same sentiment, definitely.
Yeah, same exact sentiment. Like, it's like, yeah, I'm a midget, but you, like, burn down the police station and, like, yeah, are psycho.
Right.
Which she verifiably is.
He's a really nice guy. He really gets the shit out of the stick with that one.
I didn't care, though, because he's a fictional character that was, like, a extreme caricature, like, and literally just, like, created just to create those themes.
Other than him serving as an alibi for her for the burning the police station down, you could have cut him out of the movie and it wouldn't have changed anything.
They didn't have to go to dinner, actually, that.
No.
Yeah. And it was just another example, another time for them to be like, look, we, like, care about people. See this fucking movie?
And you get to see the ex-husband and his stupid 19-year-old girlfriend. And
so convenient that they happen to be at dinner.
I like her comedic relief every time.
Oh, I didn't. She was so bad.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
I enjoy it, but...
All the women in this besides her are written horribly. Mm. And that's coming from me. Like, they're very shallow characters. Like, the wife of the fuck of Woody Harrelson's, like, literally just exists to say, I like your cock, and then be mad when she when he dies.
Right.
You got black lady who just exists to be poster girl for black crime.
Pretty much.
Or black mistreatment of the eyes of the law. You got fucking the girlfriend of the husband, which we also barely mentioned. Who's just a fucking ditz. Yeah, literally a character out of fucking Two and a Half Men, basically, written on that level.
Pretty
like,
much.
I'd give it a hair above that, but...
Okay, maybe.
I enjoyed those, some of them, to break it up.
I liked Dixon's mother, even though she was a pretty stock character.
Extremely, but was funny.
Yeah,
she was funny.
I enjoy
everybody, like, making fun of him because he's a mama's boy throughout the movie.
Yeah, it was kind of... There's a couple of okay lines with that. But also, I actually like the son. The son was pretty sympathetic, I guess, because you see him, he's not well written.
He called his mom a cunt a couple of times, so think pretty highly of him.
I like that. No, what I mean, though, is, like, you can see how he's, like, caught between, like, just being sad that his sister's dead and trying to move on, and his mother keeps dragging him back to it.
He had the only line in the movie that made me laugh out loud.
Which, moving out?
Yes, yes, yes.
There will be no more cunts in this house. You got that, mister?
What, are you moving out?
That was good.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even mention the, by the way, which is similar to, like, an after-school special cuts back to her saying, yeah, well, I hope you get raped.
That was awful. That was another, like...
That was
bad.
Ugh, yeah, that was horrible.
It's like, okay, did you literally... Like, what is she gonna say? I learned it from you, Dad. Next.
Not to mention, like, way to make, like... You're supposed to, like, sympathize with the daughter.
Yeah, I hate that fucking character. Both of them.
Yeah, you see her for, like... Probably like
one
2 minutes,
and
you're just like,
bitch.
Oh, I'm glad she's dead. She's a cunt.
I don't know about that.
It doesn't make her
a likable character.
I'm not like, oh no, she was robbed of the world.
And like, it's like, I'm not saying you have to go the other way and like do some flashback where she's a perfect angel and you're going to be so sad that she's gone.
Like, by the way, I'm not ashamed.
Yeah, I was going to say that Columbine movie was.
You don't need to go that, route, but...
Look at it. We have all kinds of callbacks and shit.
It's
love that.
Great movies that everyone has seen.
Yeah, and loves.
Similar themes.
Yeah, so basically, it's okay. The plot is like somewhat engaging.
Sure.
Maybe I'm just a Suicide fan, but I like that part. I'm a fan of people killing themselves in general.
I liked it.
I like that part. I like that part, too.
He also, like, put the bag on his head. It's like, sorry for the mess, guys.
Oh, that was cheesy.
That was right I'm on the fence about that one, to be honest with you.
I'll give it honestly, I'm having trouble deciding. Especially after we just went over all the shitty things in it.
There's a lot to nitpick.
What did I give The Shape of Water?
I think you gave it like a 4.
Oh, yeah, I think I did. I recently re-listened to that episode, and yeah, I think I did give it under a 5.
Yeah.
So I want to say like a 5.5, maybe a 6, if on a good day.
Okay.
There was some laugh out line. Yeah, 5.75. It was watchable.
That's definitely one of the things I took away from this, is that this definitely should have won Best Picture over...
Yes, that's what I wanted to say.
Shape
I wanted
of
to
water.
Preface that by saying that it's so much better than Shape of Water.
It is, yeah, definitely.
Every movie that I saw that was in the contention for that so far has beaten Shape of Water.
Yeah, I also
I know you didn't like it. I don't know if you saw it, Get Out. I think Get Out was better than Shape of Water, too. But I think you can make a hearty case for this one as well. I think, as opposed to most newer movies we see, and I know that's like, I can't like more easily judge it because it's a newer film, but... When most movies don't have character arcs or like anything that really
as shallow as they may be.
Yeah, but it actually I was interested in what happened to the characters.
Yeah, yeah.
You the really plot, can't say that.
It was an engaging film for once.
You can't say that for a lot of movies now.
It's true.
No, I was like shocked at the level of like care that. Oh, that's not the right word, but they gave some care to this fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the performances for the most part. McDormand's not very likable, but she does a good job. She kind of seems like a cunt throughout. But she definitely deserved Best Actress. And for those reasons, I think I'm going to give this... I liked it. I'm going to be on the higher side. I'm going to say I'm going to give it a 6.5.
There you go. Fair
but enough. Definitely better than Shape of Water. I think there was a lot more meat on the bone there. Shape of Water is very overrated. I don't really see why it got all the hubbub about it, really.
We were all easier on it then than we are now. Like, looking back.
Do you think so? Well, I think we're... Episode, well, recently. I think that's an earlier episode, so I think we're a little bit more easy on movies.
You weren't as jaded.
That's the same episode that you said, I'm broken.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We're much more critical now, though.
Yeah. But, yes.
I mean, what things do you like about Shape of Water? I mean, the only thing I remember is like, stylistically, it's okay.
Yeah, that's what I always think of when I try to think of something sets. Good.
Yeah. And it's probably because it reminds me of, like, Bioshock and, like, Fallout, like the...
Yeah, they were going for that kind of, like, neo-Victorian look.
Right.
All
right,
I'll quickly summate my opinion on this film. When I started watching this, I really was not on board. It kind of took a while to, like, draw me in. At first, like I said before, it felt like a Coen Brothers derivative, and I was watching thinking, this is some of the worst written dialogue I've ever heard. I absolutely hate when, like, a film is trying to do that, like, kind of, like, cutesy, trying to be, like, witty, like, trying to be the Coen Brothers, basically, dialogue, and it was doing it really poorly. I think I started to like it a little bit more after Woody Harrelson killed himself, because...
100%.
Yeah.
Me and Scott felt the same way on that.
Because everything... As we mentioned, there's a lot of things that are just kind of like tied up very neatly and coincide with other plot points.
Coincide. That's, what's a coincidence?
But yeah, but I didn't see him killing himself. Like, I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought maybe he would die. He would succumb to the cancer and die. And at some point, the character would be, like, dead. And that would kind of, like, change the mother's, like...
Right. It would move the plot forward.
Right. But, so when he killed himself, like, that kind of... It started to draw me in a little bit more. The performances, I thought Frances McDormand did a great job overall. There was only a couple moments where I thought she was a little over the top. But, like... There were, for everybody else, there was a lot of moments where, like, there were some, like, line deliveries from Woody Harrelson where he's, like, yelling. It's like, oh, damn! It's just, like, really, like...
I think I let him get away with a lot just because I'm a big Woody Harrelson fan.
Yeah, I didn't hate his performance, but I thought probably the worst actor in the film was Dixon, the actor who played Dixon. He was, like...
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, the first half of the film where he's just like a closed-minded racist and he's just like playing a hick and it's just so like cartoonish.
I get it. You've never really been to the South like you. I mean, the writer, right. Obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you can't see anything good about people who are like insular.
Yeah.
We get it.
I mean, that's kind of how the character is written, so I don't totally fault him, but I'm talking about in terms of his deliveries were not.
Oh, I get you. Yeah.
It was actually better. Even though it was cliche to have him suddenly like see the light and be a different character the second half of the film, but I kind of liked his performance in the second half of the film better.
Yeah.
What else?
Well, it wasn't so one note.
Yeah, I mean, it still was.
I know.
Just in a different way.
Just less one note.
Yeah. It was.
I'm glad you brought up the suicide thing because it's really there's like a shift in the movie.
There is. Yeah.
That's when you start to go like, all right, I'll watch this clear cut thing.
Yeah. So I would say overall it is a good movie. It's worth watching. It's not that it's not very nuanced, but I think like you said, there's enough meat on the bone that it is worth at least one watch. I'm gonna give it a 6.5. I think that's fair.
I was definitely affected by us going through all of its flaws again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which tends to be the case, obviously.
Yeah. Generally, the number I actually write down when I'm making my notes
is generally will sway one way or another based upon
right
nitpicking a little bit for lack of a better word. But you know, I mean, we're just reviewing, we're critics. We need to show our professionalism and go yeah. over the movie.
We're like Homer in that episode where he's the food critic, and then in the second half where he realizes when someone tells him that he can't just always give good reviews, so he just gives all bad reviews.
Just like that.
Yeah. Basically, the movie's pretty good, but there's one lesson you can take from this movie that I think everyone who's listening right now should take, is that sometimes it's just a point in your life where, like, there's no reason to continue. There's just no reason to live anymore, so you should just go out into your stable, release the horses.
Release the horses.
Which is just... Why would you make a mess for everyone to clean up afterwards, by the way?
Well, the movie got better, so
they're
still
inside the fence. They're not. They're just not in the pen anymore.
The movie got better at that point, though, so this is definitely... You should do it, because your life will get better.
Don't unzip the bag, just call the boys.
Yes. So, yeah, you should take, like, make, like, fucking Woody Harrelson and kill yourself. Bye-bye. Are you sure you earned that, baby crying with one eye?
If you have like two eyes on your butt, you're like, that's the rape.
We'll wait till you're done.
Yeah, no, I know that's what I was.
Right over me talking.
I was trying not to do it. I was saying, give me a second.
Are you unprofessional American?
Fuck you, I know.
Yeah, listen to that episode if you want to hear that. I know it's not out yet, so fuck you. I was too busy watching Kingpin.
Scott's a busy man.
Yeah.
Shaping young lives.
Yes.
All right. So.
He's got business meetings to attend.
Yes.
He had to go meet with his business partner, Mom.
Yeah. And I had to put on my, like, first communion shirt and pants and tuck him in.
And then his grandfather got a flat tire, so.
Yes.
Give him a break.
My grandfather's girlfriend.
Oh, that's what it was? Yeah. I didn't get the full story, I guess.
Oh, what's with all the Chinese around here?
No, I'm a regular American guy.
I'm John Matrix.
Let me get your badge and your gun.
He's now sitting down. His pants are at his ankles. And it feels good, man. He's also afraid of the rabbit. It's just not as funny when Marshall doesn't say it over and over again and get him mad.